You know, as Jaden started off and recognizing that this is the last Sunday for the year in which we have an opportunity to have corporate worship together at the 9 a.m. service, it brings back a lot of thoughts about looking back at the year behind us and everything that has been going on in life around us, let alone in our personal lives of walking with God, our personal homes, whatever has been taking place within those times. And as you think about this, and we live in a time where, New Year's resolutions are a big thing and all of those kinds of things. And I've been probably 40 years asking to lose weight, but, resolutions sometimes are just that. They're a goal, but it's earthly oriented. And what I hope for today is for us to see that there are promises of God that you and I can trust in 2026 and beyond. Just a few of those promises I would really love to highlight tonight, this morning, so that we could walk into 2026 revived, vibrant, challenged, encouraged. So I invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we open up your word this morning and as we consider your promises, promises that we can trust wholeheartedly, consistently, because you are faithful. And we have sung about that so much this morning. Your faithfulness is so wonderful. Lord, it's humbling to walk in your consistent faithfulness when I'm so unfaithful at times. Lord, thank you for meeting needs in 2025. And we know because of your promises, you'll continue to do that through the coming year. We ask your hand a blessing on this time. We ask that your word would fall fresh on fertile soil in each of our hearts this morning, that it would take deep root, that it would be a springboard for a wonderful year of following you. So we just thank you again for the freedom to meet, the joy to meet, to be able to sing hallelujah, and to worship our great God together. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You know, as we begin looking at this, and the very first promise that I see in this passage is the promise of eternity with Christ. What a better place to start. You know, it is just so wonderful to understand that in these promises that we can trust, he over and over again tells us that once we are in Christ, we have this place specifically reserved for us as individuals, as his children in heaven with him. Follow along as I read verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, be destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A building, a new tent. And I'm confident he is referring back to 2 Corinthians 4:7. If you look back there just a little bit, he goes, but we have this treasure, salvation, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The reality is we have Christ in us once we trust Christ as Savior, and He is telling us, but in heaven, we'll have this new shell, this glorified body that will be eternal with him. It goes on to say this. Look at verses 2, 3, and 4 with me. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we should not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. You know, the older I get, the realize the more mortal I am. You know, when I was 21, I was young and foolish and thought I was indestructible and did silly things. You know, but older I get, I don't want to be stupid anymore. You know, I want to be able to do things that really glorify God. And he is telling us here that we will have this eternal life. And this eternal life is meant to be something that is prized, something that is true, eternal, eternity with Christ, eternal in the heavens. Notice verse 5 and following. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Notice, he has done all the work. The wonders of salvation in Christ, his birth, his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, back in Genesis 3, God told Adam and Eve that Eve's seed was going to crush Satan's head. Guess what? Christ did that. He brought victory over the grave. And you and I, if we are in Christ, if we know Christ as our personal Savior, death has no more rule over us anymore. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have this truth. It has been prepared by God. Our new body will be prepared by God. And he has given us the Holy Spirit within for us to realize that hope, to be able to walk in that hope, to be secure in that hope in a very crazy, chaotic world. No matter what is happening around us, that cannot be ripped from our heart and soul. We are his. And he has a place prepared for us. Notice verse 6, 7, and following. For so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Walking by faith, even in this day and age, knowing that we have eternity with Christ guaranteed. It is so wonderful. You know, the disciples, when the Lord told him that he was going in the cross, in John chapter 14, he records for them, hey guys, don't be downcast, don't be fearful. The reality is I'm going to heaven and I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Our Lord's coming again, amen? Amen. Eternity is secure. If we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and start thinking of verse 13 and following, he wants us to realize that if we truly believe that Christ was born of a virgin and died and rose again, we have eternity with him, and he wants us to comfort one another with those words. Our security in Christ is sure. The reality of the end game is real. For every single one of us in this building or online that is looking online, the reality, if we are in Christ, that cannot be ripped away from us. Satan has been crushed by the true and living God of the universe. If we go to Revelation chapter 21, man, I don't know, really get you thinking about it. The reality that there will be no more death. There will not be any more pain. There will not be any more tears. Why? Because we are in heaven. We are spending eternity with our Savior. That's a promise you and I can trust. Scripture repeats it over and over again. So no matter how bitter, how difficult, how painful the circumstances of life might become, no matter how chaotic and crazy the political climate might be, for you and I, we can walk by faith in this truth, eternity with Christ. Amen? The second promise is the fact, God could have left it right there. He could have, but you know what he does? He tells us that we can please him. Notice what it says. The second promise we have is that we can please him. Verse 9 says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Well-pleasing. I don't know about you, but to be able to please my Heavenly Father marvels me. The reality in this life, by consistently following his word and being open to his leading, brings a smile to the creator of the universe, the holy God of the universe. When I was a sophomore in high school, it was a new school, and I was playing baseball, and I was all of 5'9", and maybe 145 pounds, 150 pounds, dripping wet. And, I'm just a spindly little guy, but I could hit a baseball. That's just the reality of it. I could hit a baseball. Well, my new coach decided that I had to pitch. I'm this little scrawny kid. And we go to a place called Geneva, New York, and the wind is blowing off Seneca Lake like you wouldn't believe. The winds are consistently 20 miles an hour. It's a cold spring day. The wind was piercing right through. And guess what? That wind was dead in my face as a pitcher. Jamie Wright was pitching for Geneva. Jamie was 6'2", 200 pounds. The wind didn't blow him over like it did me. We started playing, and the game is going, and as the game progressed, I noticed that my biological dad had showed up. Hadn't seen him in a while, and he just showed up. And I ended up hanging a couple of curveballs, and we lost 3-0. Jamie struck out 14 of us in a seven-inning game. But he did give up one hit. I was fortunate enough to just rip a double. If I had gotten it up in the air, I don't know where it would have landed. But after the game, having not seen my dad in a while, I sought him out right away. It was rude of me. I didn't greet the other players or anything, but sought him out, and boy, as soon as I got near him, I almost wish I hadn't, because it was everything I had done wrong on the mound. Why did you throw that pitch to that batter? Why did you and it was out loud as normal. I'm so glad that Jamie came over and interrupted, and he said, if I have to lose a no-hitter, I'm glad it was with a hit like that. Listen, at that moment, I wasn't in Christ or anything, and I was crushed because of my earthly identity. I no longer have an earthly identity. My identity is in Christ. My Heavenly Father loves me. I can please my Heavenly Father. You can please your Heavenly Father. Matter of fact, Scripture declares the reality that we're going to go before the Bema seat of Christ, and our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he wants to hold us accountable in this time of pleasing Christ, for we must all, verse 10, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, what he has done, whether good or bad. I am thankful for that, The reality is every single one of us here in Christ will be there one day before Christ, and we will give an account. It should not be a scary thing. It should be something of expectation if we live this life with the desire, the passion, the intentionality of pleasing the one who gave his life for us in this life, to where we pursue him and a relationship with him that really makes a difference in this culture, in this world. I want you to understand this, whether you're watching online or here in this auditorium or upstairs, I want you to know that your life has been designed and truly, sovereignly brought to pass by a holy God for this time and this time only. God wanted Rich Bailey still alive in 2025 going into 2026. Intentionality for this time, for this city, for this congregation, and the same is for you. God is real. His designs are real. His intentions are real. Every single time I think of that, I can please God. Wow. It's amazing how much he loves us. In 3 weeks, I ask you to be praying about this. My son, Diane's my our oldest, our son, he was a professor at a Christian university that shut its doors quickly, unexpectedly, and everything. And so he has found himself without a ministry for quite some time. And in 3 weeks, he's going to be candidating at a church. Now, that's a wonderful thing. It's a congregational rural church, unlike ours. But he is going. The difference is he is walking into a circumstance where the previous pastor left his wife and children for a local teacher and has stayed in the community. On top of that, Stephen's youngest son is highly autistic, a high needs child, high energy child, loud child, big child. And his wife has multiple health issues. So in this scenario, he is going not only to minister to the church, but I'm sure deep down in his heart, he's praying that it's a church that would minister to him and his family and his needs. That kind of thing is pleasing to God. Amen? It is an opportunity for both a congregation and a man of God to please God. So I'd ask that you be praying about that, that if that's God's will, if that's God's church that he would want my son at, that they would open up their arms to accept the family and his ministry, which will be a healing ministry in the midst of everything. We please God by following him. Held accountable? Absolutely. Scary? Should not be. Should be something that we live with expectation for. The third thing is we ought to be motivated by the love of Christ. That third thing, look at verse 11 and following. Notice what verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. In other words, Paul just wanted their testimony to ring true. They wanted to continue to share the truth of who he is. Verse 12 goes on to say, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance but not in heart. In other words, this time of ministry, this love of God should want us to be real, genuine, not putting on a facade, not putting on disguises, but get the real you. You know, when I went out to Ellicott and start there, you know, I just told folks when they come and want to meet me, and I go, what you see is what you get. You know, whether that's good or bad, you know, I am who I am. I am in Christ, you know, my Heavenly Father. And none of that needs to happen wanting people to now stop living for themselves, but living for God through the heart. And here's how it gets wonderfully. Notice verse 13. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. And if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live should live no longer to themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. A new purpose in life, motivated by the love of Christ. What we do, is it motivated by self? Is it motivated by pride? Is it motivated by arrogance? Or is it motivated because, I love God? You know, the first great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? You know, and the joy of that, entering into that and passionately pursuing, motivated by that, allowing that to be the reason why we say what we say, why we react, how we respond in every situation in life. Now, I'm not saying I do that perfectly. No, sometimes dumb guy. And I don't respond God's way. But I can tell you this, I am not an evangelist, but God has opened strange doors for me to share the love of Christ with so many people in so many crazy scenarios and situations. And I'm confident that he wants to do that with all of us as we walk this everyday life. Let me just give you a couple of instances. I was kind of put on a little forced sabbatical here. I was dragging big time, and end up in near Breckenridge, Dillon, and in a resort. And wouldn't you know it, there was absolutely nobody at the pool and stuff like that. My wife had just had a knee replacement, and she's exercising, and there happened to be a hot tub. That's a place for me, and I jumped in. Nobody else in there, zero. And all of a sudden, a couple walks in, and guess where they want to go? Hot tub. I got to share it, you know? And somebody asks, why are you here? My wife, love her dearly, he's on sabbatical. Are you a pastor? Yes, I really wanted to keep that a secret. But God gave me an opportunity, because the very next question is, what are some keys to a strong marriage? Boom. You both have to be in Christ. And Diane and I could share our testimonies of Christ. In a hot tub. Only God does that. Let me share another one. Before I got saved, I worked in a mine, and the mine had closed, and we're taking stuff out. A few of us were still there. And there was this renegade who had he was kept because he had his dynamite license, right? And we had to dispose of some dynamite underground, and I had to be a part of it because I took an accounting of everything, and it had to be destroyed underground. Well, Phil was Phil, and he was dumb, and we only got one drift apart from it, and without me knowing, he torched the thing. You know, and every rib, ceilings are coming down around us. We're trying to find a stupid tractor to get out of the way, you know, and they ended up having to send a mine safety team to find us and to rescue us. And when they did, we get topside and blew 50-foot steel doors off the ground. I mean, the destruction was real. And we get up there and they go, what happened? They had their report. And Phil began this squirrely story. And man, I wasn't saved and I was an angry young man. I punched him. You're nothing but a liar. Advance 12 years. I'm in a hospital. I'm saved now, ministering in my first church. And I'm walking down an aisle ministering to a family, trying to get to them. Surgery had just happened for bypass. Wanted to pray with them. And I see Phil's wife walk in to a room. So, curiosity, I go knock on the door. And there's Phil with his arm up in the... And I looked at Mrs. Bond, and she goes, my husband was stupid again. He was trying to cut wood and logs one-handed and using the other hand to get rid of it. The chainsaw caught, kicked back, went right through and through his wrist. And there he is. They had done surgery, like 6 hours worth of surgery. And he goes, Rich, are you here to pick on me? We hadn't seen each other since that day previously. And I said, no, Phil, I'm here to pray with you. You talk about a head exploding and share with him the love of Christ and the fact of who he could be in Christ, motivated by the love of Christ. And on top of all of this, not only do we have eternity with Christ, not only can we please our Heavenly Father, please Christ, and not only does he want us to be motivated by that love, we have a ministry. Notice what it says in verse 17 and following. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, changed that position from enemy to friend, from enemy to child of God, to being his child through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He has given us a ministry, that ministry of reconciliation. Every single person who is here today, who is in Christ, that ministry is ours to carry out through the love of Christ for his glory. And wonderfully, he didn't leave Rich Bailey as Rich Bailey. When he got saved, he began transforming him. Oh, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. My favorite Christian art piece is called Born Again. I would love it if it would be placed up here. It depicts that reality of being in Christ. Notice what it is. It has changed from the inside out. And if you notice, that good hand's got to hold that hand, and it still wants to do dumb things, you know. But that person is transforming. You and I, if we are in Christ, we become a new creation. Does it happen completely automatically the very moment we trust Christ as Savior? No, it is a process of sanctification. It is progressive sanctification, but you and I can grow in Christ, and this ministry becomes real, where we can share the truth of the gospel, that people can be saved and need to be saved, and we see people through the eyes of Christ, not through the foolishness in which they live life, knowing this truth, except by the grace of God, there goes me. You know, what has changed has been the intent of the heart, the reality of wanting to glorify God in all that I do. If you had ever come into my office, you would have seen a replica of that statue on my desk. I love it. It declares the story, the truth of this verse. And you and I have that ministry. God didn't stop there. He not only gives us a ministry to do, which we can do to please Him, which He will hold us accountable for, guarantee a place in heaven, but also this. You have a designed purpose. I have a designed purpose. Isn't that cool? When I was a kid, because of the brokenness of life around me, what is this? You know, and bottom line, it's just me against the world. And so that's the way I treated everybody and everything. I was very self-centered. And throughout everything, my military time was ugly because it was all about me, even there. Vietnam. Sorry, guys. I'm looking out for myself. You know, the reality of this purpose is found in the end of the chapter. Look at verses 20 and 21. So then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on God's behalf, be reconciled to God, that He made Himself who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That means everywhere we go, we're His representative. And we might be entering into a place where there is no other Christian representative. We might be by ourselves, but that's okay because God is with us. God is power. He has sealed us with His Spirit. His Spirit is within. The power comes from Him and Him alone. Any reward we might get at the Bema seat, the reality is we'll give Him back to Christ because we realize we didn't do it on our own. He did it through us. That is the Christian life and the reality of it and how we ought to live within the context of the family of God, as well as out there. Grocery stores can be tough. I hate them, but they're a necessary evil. Since Diane got sick, guess who gets to do the shopping? Yay, you know. And always looking for what's on sale. And then you got these things, apps for your phones, and if you don't have the app, you can't get the sale, which I think is ridiculous. To me, it's almost worse than Kohl's cash. But we do what we do. We go where we need to go. We strive to represent Christ. And when Kohl's told me I didn't have a men's fitting room anymore and that it was all one, I go, who, what? I'm buying this, taking it home, and bringing it back. You know, no matter what it is, wanting to represent Christ. I remember reading Campus Life back in the early 1900s, early in my first ministry, and reading a story about Kathy Tricoli. Kathy Tricoli sang in nightclubs at the time, and loved to drink, would get drunk. She also had a day job, and she was a heavy drinker, heavy carouser and everything, and she would often show up at her day job hungover. And there was a gal that she worked with that Kathy called her these things. Oh, she's frilly. She's prissy, Miss Prissy. She's too gentle, you know, those kinds of things. And this gal by the name of Cindy would often be found reading her Bible during her breaks, especially during lunchtime. And she often shared with her co-workers the gospel and the love of Christ, and challenged them by wanting to give them a little New Testament, challenging them, go read the Gospel of John. You know, go read the Gospel of John. God is so good. He's so faithful. He's my Savior. And Kathy admits that she just got a little bit of a bully in her and began bullying Cindy and would say rude things about not wanting to go out and party with them and things like that. And yet Cindy's demeanor remained the same, just smiling at them, loving these ladies, encouraging them to read God's word, to trust God in the midst of everything. Kathy ultimately said something pointed. And Cindy got up rather abruptly, and Cindy had been talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and she put that small New Testament in Kathy's hands, and she said this: Jesus is Lord whether you accept him or not, and he will remain Lord, and walked away. Well, that really pierced Kathy's heart. So she went home and actually read the Gospel of John, came away with questions, but that started her journey to where she had finally trusted Christ as Savior, and her life turned upside down, and she began singing songs for the glory of God. Amen. Kathy Tricoli, you, me, we all need an ambassador in our life that is there motivated by the love of Christ, who is very secure in who they are in Christ, earnestly desiring to do the ministry of Christ. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what 2026 might present for you, but grab these true promises, cling to them. Walk with them, intentionally follow them throughout this coming week and year. And I guarantee you, God's going to open up an opportunity for you to share the love of Christ someplace unexpected. Have the faith to do it. I've done it in a hot tub. I've done it in a grocery store line. I'm amazed and I get excited about what God will do next. Let's stand and close our time in prayer. Our Father, I would be foolish to think that everybody here is in Christ and that everybody online listening is in Christ. And how I pray that today would be their day of salvation, that they see that Christ died and rose again for them individually, to change that relationship, to become a child of the Most High God. There's no greater position to be in than a child of the Holy Creator of the universe. Father, I'm sure there are folks here that their hearts are heavy, the circumstances of life are painful. Lord, I pray that you would meet them where they're at. And Lord, that they would have the courage to step out by faith and come up and ask for prayer from one of the pastors. Oh Lord, you desire to meet those deep needs, those spiritual needs in their hearts and lives. Oh Lord, minister to them so that they can walk into the new year at peace, at rest, with expectation, knowing you are a great God. Father, we love you and we thank you again for your word, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.